Well, of course, I get the computer working and now the Mevo's not working, but that's okay. Well, we continue on in the Baptist Catechism and we come to question 13. Speaking of creation, so we looked at God's decrees and now we're looking at how God executes his decrees through the work of creation. So before we read question 13, let us go back and read question 12. I'll read the question, you read the answer. It says, what is the work of creation? So God creates everything out of nothing. Ex nihilo. He creates everything out of nothing. Everything comes into being, and he does it by speaking. God says, let there be, and there is. And he does it in 6 days. And at the end of 6 days, he looks upon all of creation, and he declares it to be very good. So now we come to question 13, which is an important question. It revolves around, how did God create man? Because as we will see in the narrative, God does something special with man. It's the man that he takes out of the dust of the ground and forms him and breathes his breath of life into him. That's not said of any other animal. Rather, God says, and they are. But here, God takes special care to create us. And it says that he creates us in the Imago Dei, that is, in the image of God. And that is only said uniquely about human beings. We are created in the image of God, which gives us unique worth, which is why God sets man up to be his vice regent or to be his king on earth. But with that, let us now look to question 13. It says, how did God create man? Amen. So first, notice that when we talk about God creating man, we're talking about God creating humanity. And he creates us in two genders. Not in the infinite number of genders that the world tries to tell you, but two genders, male and female. And he creates us after his own image. And that's spelled out in several ways. How are we created in his image? We're created in his image by having knowledge, by having righteousness, by having holiness, and then having dominion over creation. So turn with me then, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Or you can look there at the bottom of your catechism, but let's look in the text. Beginning in verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill and subdue the earth, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God, it says, creates us in his own image. We are the image bearers of God. That's how he created us. And then he gives us these rights and privileges and responsibilities, namely to care for and have dominion over all of the earth and the creatures that dwell therein. Now, if you look into the next chapter, chapter 2, we get a more detailed explanation of the creation of man.
And in this detailed explanation, we see this. If you look at verse 15. Or sorry. Didn't have it written down. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 5. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for Yahweh God had not caused it to rain in the land, there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then Yahweh God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature.
So there we see this anthropomorphic language of God coming and forming the man with his own hands and then breathing the breath of life into him. That's not said of anyone else. This is the pinnacle of God's creation. If we see in chapter 1, he creates man, creates the male and female, and then he looks on everything and calls it very good. That is the pinnacle of his creation. That's the crown of glory to his creation, to create man to rule over the garden and to rule over all the earth and everything that dwells therein. But it says that God created us male and female. Now, if you look with me to verse 18, we see from man the woman is created. So the Hebrew language here is the Adam, or the human, out of his side is taken a rib, and God fashions from that side a woman. And that side, interestingly enough, every time it appears in the Old Testament, has to do with sacred architecture, which would make sense since we are created in God's image, and we are his sacred architecture, especially typologically when you think about that as we become his temple. But it says that out of Ish, man, came Isha, woman. Woman is taken out of the side of the man. So with that, let us read it. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." So we see the progression of the story. He calls everything very good. Chapter 2, he says, "But it's not good that man should be alone. So I will make him a helper fit for him." Now, that phrase there is important. It's 6 words in English, but it's only 2 words in Hebrew. Etzer kenegdo. Etzer kenegdo means, etzer means a helper that strengthens you, that makes you stronger, that makes you better. Kenegdo means corresponding to, but different from. So God is going to create a helpmate for him that strengthens him, but it's going to be different from him, but correspond to him. Now, obviously, I hope you understand how that works. Men and women are different, and yet they complement one another. They are created differently with different strengths, different skill sets, but they complement one another, so they correspond together. And thus, the man and the woman make each other stronger. So, don't think that the Bible has this negative view on woman, but really, right there from the beginning, God says, "I'm going to create a woman to make the male stronger." And it's true in the verse, the male makes the woman stronger as well. So we're made for each other. We complement one another, and it's not good for us to be alone. And so, now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So Yahweh God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh,
and the rib that Yahweh God had taken from the man, he made into woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, singing, poetry. The first words recorded of Adam speak about his wife. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So this is a beautiful wedding ceremony passage, especially when you start talking about the Ish and the Isha coming from the one man. Because what you really have is God separating them. And then you have the Ish and the Isha. But then in marriage, the two come back together and they become one temple in sacred architecture. So there's some really beautiful things that are going on there. But we're created in the image of God and we're created male and female. Now, my point being, males contain the image of God. They have the image of God. And females have the image of God. Both of us are image bearers together. And together we make each other stronger. And together we foretell and beyond, and afterwards we continue to tell the love that Christ has for the church. Wives, submit to your husbands like we all submit to Christ. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church and that he gave himself for her. So what we're supposed to do is emulate Christ to one another, and in doing so, we tell of the wonderful mystery of marriage, how it tells of the mystery between Christ and his church. So that's why we're created male and female. But beyond that, it says we're created after his own image in knowledge, righteousness, holiness, and dominion over the creatures. Now, the confession does a good job on explaining this. It gives us a little further clarification in chapter 4. When I get there. In chapter 4, and then paragraph 2, it says this. After God had made all other creatures, he created man, male and female, with reasonable and immortal souls, rendering them fit unto that life to God for which they were created. Being made after the image of God, in knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness, having the law of God written in their hearts, and power to fulfill it, and yet under a possibility of transgression, being left to the liberty of their own will, which was subject to change. So that's what the confession teaches, and that's what the catechism is also trying to teach. So what does it mean that we're created in his image, and that we're created in his image through knowledge and righteousness and holiness and dominion? Well, we can look at Colossians 3:10. It says, "And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Or Ephesians 2:24, "And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Or as we see in 2 Corinthians 5, we are a new creation in Christ. So, Bedham has some questions. His questions give more clarification in his commentary upon this question. He asks, how did God create man? God created man, male and female, after his own image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, and dominion over creatures. So were there any men before Adam? No. Adam was the first man. Regardless of what modern science tries to tell us and the rewriting of history since Darwin, there was no man before Adam. Adam was created
And out of Adam came Eve. And from Adam and Eve came the entire human race. And then, likewise, it happens with Noah. Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives go into the ark. Everyone else dies. And from them comes all the peoples of the earth. So there was no one before Adam. We see this in 1 Corinthians 15:45. He was the first man. So we're told it in Genesis 1 and 2, and the New Testament confirms it. And even Jesus confirms that for us himself. So anytime that there's a view that differs with Jesus and the Bible, I would always align myself with what Jesus believes and what Jesus taught. Now, are all men then derived from Adam? Yes, as we just said. Acts 17:26. He has made of one blood all nations of men. So, we can talk about races and cultures, but the reality is, regardless of the melanin count in our skin, all of us are descendants of Adam. And because we're all descendants of Adam, all of us are born in sin and conceived in iniquity and can only be saved by the one second Adam, who is Jesus the Christ. And did Adam himself derive his being from God? Yes. God created him, and God made him in his own image and likeness. We can look to Luke 3, verses 38, which is the genealogy of Jesus. So the genealogy that Luke contains goes all the way back to Adam. So if you look at 38, it says, the son of Seth. So that's important because Jesus comes from the line of redemption and not from the serpentine line of Cain. The son of Adam, so he is truly a son of man, which is a self-proclaimed title that he has. And then the last one, the son of God. So Adam is called the son of God, and Jesus is the only begotten son of God. So there's typology there where Adam is a type and Jesus is the anti-type. But in his own genealogy, we see that Adam was called a son of God because it was only from God that he derived his being. And so did God create male and female? Yes. Male and female created he them. We saw this already in Genesis 1, but it's also confirmed once again in Genesis 5. In Genesis 5, 2, it once again says, it's Exodus, so that's the wrong one. Genesis 5, 2 says, this is the book of generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them and named them man when they were created. So chapter 5 of Genesis gives us the line of redemption that follows from Adam through his son Seth and onward. Whereas chapter 4 gives us the serpentine line of those who would be at enmity with Jesus. Betham asks, was there a difference in the manner of their creation? Yes. As we have seen, we are created in the image of God. And God forms us and breathes his breath of life into us. But 1 Corinthians 11:8 says, speaking of the difference between man and woman, 1 Corinthians 11:8 says, For the man is not the woman, but the woman of the man. So when men are created out of the dust of the ground, but women are created out of the side of man. Is there a difference in their order of their creation? Yes. 1 Timothy 2:13. For Adam was formed first, and then Eve. And this is important because it plays into federal head theology, where Adam is given the covenant of works before Eve is formed. It was Adam's duty to maintain the law of God, and he fails. Thus, this is why Adam is often blamed for our sin, though it was the actions of both Adam and Eve. And it's why we only need one mediator, a new Adam, who is Jesus the Christ, and we don't need Jesus and his mother. Through one man, Jesus, or through one man, sin and death entered the world, who is Adam, but through one man, who is Christ, brings the salvation of many. And is there a difference in the end of their creation? Yes. 1 Corinthians 11:9. For the man was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man. She was created to make men stronger and to be a helpmate. So was man made after the image of God? Yes, God created man after his own image, Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 5:1 and 2. But what does that consist of? Well, as we see here, it consisted of being made in knowledge or possessing knowledge. So Colossians 3:10, for we are renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created us. Which is interesting, because what does God plant in the garden? But the knowledge of good and evil. But that's the knowledge of good and evil. That's not all knowledge. It's not. It's around experiencing good and evil. But we need to be renewed in the image that we were created in, because we had lost something. We had experienced evil. And are we created in righteousness and holiness? Yes, Ephesians 4:24. For the new man after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now this is important for us because that's what we lose when Adam sins. He loses his righteousness and his holiness by becoming profane and sinning against God. But Jesus comes and he makes us into a new creation, that we can now be called righteous and holy, not by our own doing, but by the doing of Christ upon the cross, upon his perfect life, and upon the work of the Spirit applying that to us. And he created us in his image when it comes to authority and government. Psalm 8:6, for thou hast put all things under his feet. So, before we sinned, was the state of man a very glorious one? Yes. Psalm 8:5, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. But was it an abiding one? No, for man, being in honor, abideth not. Psalm 49:12. And as we saw in the confession, our nature was subject to change if we sinned against God, and we did sin against him. So to conclude, like, we can look at the meta-narrative of Scripture and really the language that is used. So it begins with, humanity begins with, the language that we are created in the image of God and in his likeness. We are given the mandate to have dominion over the world, but we are created in knowledge and righteousness and holiness. And we're given one command. Now, I would argue that we also, the moral law is at play here, or the Ten Commandments is at play. And then there's one positive law. What is that positive law? What is added to the moral law? Don't eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And then there's a stipulation tied to it, a blessing and a curse. Follow this law, and you will live forever. Disobey this law, and you will surely die. And we take from the tree of knowledge, and we eat, and we bring spiritual and physical death into the world. And in doing so, we fall into the image and likeness of the devil, that is, rebellion against God. Jesus says in the Gospels to certain Pharisees, you are like your father, the devil.
We fall into his likeness, the one that rebelled against God and the one that led us into rebellion. We fall into his image and likeness. And then the rest of Scripture is about God conforming us back to the image of God. So in the New Testament, the language is Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the now seen, unseen God. He is the image of the Father, the firstborn of the dead. And what does it say in the New Testament that the Spirit is doing? Conforming us to the image of Christ, who is the image of God. That is what the narrative is talking about. God creates us in his image and likeness, and we lose it by sinning against him. Now, I'm not saying that now humanity is no longer in the image of God. No, we still have that within us, but it's marred by sin. It has a stain of sin upon it. So we fail like Adam and Eve did, over and over. But then Christ comes as the image bearer, the true image bearer of God, makes the Father known, and we are being conformed into his image and likeness, that we would be like him who is the image of God. And so what we see is when we see him, we shall be like him. We will put on immortal bodies as he has an immortal body. We will put on the imperishable as he has put on the imperishable. Our confession says that we have an immortal soul. Our immortal soul is only immortal because it's tied to the immortal one who sustains us. So we are created in the image of God, and we are being conformed to the image of God. This is our hope, that we would gain everything and more in Christ that we lost in Adam. Because while Adam is created in the image of Christ, or in the image of God, he mars it with sin. Christ does not. He is the perfect image bearer of God because he himself is God incarnate. So we long to be conformed to his image and likeness, that we can live like he lived. And more importantly, that we can dwell with him for all of eternity. Because at the end of Genesis 3, what happens? We're kicked out of the garden. What happens in the exile? Israel is kicked out of the promised land. What happens in Christ? He comes down the mountain and he ransoms us and he brings us back into the presence of his Father. We are being conformed to his image and likeness, that we would be like him. And we shall be like him when we see him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in the Baptist Catechism in question 13 and studying what it means to be created in the Imago Dei. Father, we thank you that every single one of us have been created and carry your image with us, that we would reflect your glory to a world. But Father, we know that we were marred by sin, that we ourselves were conceived and born in iniquity and sin, and that we did not properly portray your glory to the world, portray your image and likeness, but that in our sin we portray the devil who rebelled against you. But Father, by your Spirit and in Christ, we are being conformed to the image of Christ, that we shall once again reflect your glory to the world, which you call us to do as your Christians, as a new creature, as a new creation, we would glorify you with our lives, that we would no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds, that we would know what is good and right and perfect before you. And so, Father, I just pray that we would live in this reality. Father, that men would lead their wives well, that women would love their husbands well, that we would understand that we make each other stronger, that we may be different from one another, but we complement one another. And in doing so, may we reflect the mystery of Christ and his church, and may we reflect the glory of Christ. So help us be image bearers, O God, that we may bear witness to your power in saving the lost. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Love you guys.